Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the precious name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior, and we welcome you to the ministry of the Gospel Message today. We would ask that you would listen to four great things that are found in the book of the Acts, chapter 4 and verse 12, where the beloved Apostle Peter, by divine inspiration, has declared regarding the name of Jesus, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Four great things are revealed in our text. First, we go to the end of the verse where we learn of a great necessity. The last four words declare it. We must be saved. It tells that every human being is in need of salvation, whether man, woman, boy, or girl. Now, why is everyone in the need of salvation? Well, listen carefully to God's word in Romans 6 and verse 23. There it declares that the wages of sin is death, meaning the inevitable penalty for our sins, death. Now, what exactly is the meaning of death? Now, think of it. I would like to ask you to think of it in three ways. But first of all, let me state that in the Bible, death never means ceasing to exist. Absolutely not. Death always means separation. Now, think of it as separation, as the Bible clearly teaches it. And there are three phases of death mentioned in the Word of God. First of all, which we are very familiar with, there is physical death. And is not physical death the separation of the spirit and the soul from the human body? That immaterial part of us, the real personality, is separated from the body in which we have lived at death. This, my friend, is the result of our sins from Adam down to this present day. It is a divine appointment, for it is appointed unto men once to die, according to Hebrews 9:27. Then there is spiritual death. This is declared in Ephesians 2, verse 1. Paul writing to the saints in Ephesus, telling what they were before they were saved, he said, "You were dead in trespasses and sins," meaning Godward. There was no spiritual life toward God at all. And this is true of everyone yet who is still unsaved, never having been born again. They are spiritually dead toward God. My friend, let me ask you, is this true of you now? And it is if you've never been born again. Separated in heart and mind and soul from God. One of the results of sin, spiritual death. Then there is eternal death. Now this is the final and the eternal separation from a living God, who in the day of judgment will cast all unbelieving sinners into the lake of fire, to be banished forever from God's presence, according to Revelation 20, verse 15. Now think this carefully through, my friend. The wages of my sin, the wages of your sin, death. Physically, spiritually, and far more serious, eternally. Is this then not true, that I need to be saved from the penalty of my sins? Now our text sets before us a great opportunity, and this is found in that word, salvation, meaning deliverance, which I need. And it is found in Christ, no other's name. Now, why is salvation found in Christ only? Now, may I quote the words of Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, the closing words of that text, where we are told that Christ tasted death for every man. Take it into your heart and into your mind. He tasted, he experienced death for every man. Surely you know where he did that. Would it not be upon the cross of Calvary, where the wages, the complete penalty for your sins and mine, He died? Now think it through. When he died upon that cross, did he die physically, paying that phase of death's punishment? Well, you read Matthew, Mark, and Luke and John's Gospel, and you know the record reveals he tasted physical death. He experienced it. Father, the wages for your sin and for mine. Now, did he taste death spiritually? Meaning, was he separated from his God in his experience? Did he experience spiritual separation as his soul suffered upon the cross? Yes, did he not cry out with a loud voice in the darkness of that suffering, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Matthew 26 and verse 46. Why? Was he not bearing the wages of sin, my beloved friend, for you and for me, tasting death, not only physically but spiritually? But let us go further. You may raise the question, how could he taste the full consequence? Could he, and did he taste, that eternal phase of death's penalty when he was upon the cross? Well, my beloved, if the Lord Jesus didn't taste that eternal character of death's penalty, then he cannot save you and he cannot save me. It had to be a salvation that will save us from the eternal penalty of our sins. But may we confess with joy and satisfaction, he did taste the full penalty. And let me add, there was no other person in the world and in the universe but Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who could do that. Listen to the words of John 1, verse 29. Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Listen to the words of Hebrews 10, verse 12. But this man, Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever sat down on the right hand of God. Listen to the words of Isaiah 53 and verse 6. All we like sheep have gone astray, we've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Very briefly it must be, but emphatically, let me state, all that your sins and my sins deserve, their eternal penalty, the Savior suffered and tasted and experienced upon the cross. God in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12 states that Christ by his death and through his blood has obtained, and listen to the next words, he has obtained eternal redemption for us. My beloved friend, if you've never received it, do you not wish to receive this eternal redemption and do so right now? You have a great necessity if you're unsaved, but you have a great opportunity. 'Tis yours for the taking. But then third, there's a third great thing in our text, and that is a great authority. For this opportunity that you can obtain salvation is offered on the greatest authority, and that is the name of Jesus, the greatest name both in earth as well as in heaven. Do you remember the command Jesus gave to his disciples? That repentance and forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Luke 24:47. In every nation, to all people, regardless of their race and creed or color, whether rich or poor, whether educated or uneducated. He has given authority to offer his great salvation, the forgiveness of sins, to every man, woman, boy, and girl. And that authority is great. In Matthew chapter 28, where he gave their great commission to the disciples, did he not precede it by saying, all power, meaning all authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Matthew 28, verse 18. My beloved friend, this is the highest authority in the universe of God. This message of salvation, telling that you and that I can be saved, telling that the Son of God purchased redemption by suffering and paying the complete penalty for your sins and mine, physically, spiritually, and even that eternal character of death in its meaning, comes with the highest authority in heaven and in the earth for you and me to take. Why don't you receive it, my dear friend unsaved? Why don't you believe it? Why will you not confess it? Oh, that you would say, I do believe, I now believe that Jesus died for me. That on the cross, he shed his blood from sin to set me free. And so we have found there is a great necessity. I must be saved. There is a great opportunity. And that opportunity is mine through the death of Christ. But there is a great authority with that great salvation, and it is the authority of God and of our Lord Jesus in heaven and in earth. But it leaves a fourth fact, a fourth thing to remember. If you are still unsaved, it leaves you with a great responsibility. Listen to the words. For there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Let me emphasize the words, none other name. There's no other name, my friend. That responsibility is this. You and I must go to Christ. You and I must believe on him. You and I must receive from him God's great salvation. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God's great gift is offered to every man, woman, boy, and girl. But may I state, though it is absolutely a gift, it must be received. My beloved, this is a great responsibility. You've heard the message today. You've heard the great necessity. You need to be saved. You've heard the great opportunity that God through Christ and his death has provided salvation. You find a great authority offering it to you, the greatest in heaven and earth. Now the great responsibility is yours. My friend, will you not say, Jesus, I will trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost, and helpless, thou canst make me whole. There is none in heaven nor on earth like thee. Thou hast died for sinners. Therefore, Lord, for me. Beloved and blessed Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, in the power of thy Holy Spirit, bring some sinner to trust the Savior now. For his name's sake, amen.